Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Apologies for last week's show, which was on Wednesday.
Oh, come on, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. Oh, man, the voyage to the corner of the globe is a real trip.
I'm so sorry. Everything's delayed. Everything in the studio is delayed.
Okay. Welcome to the show. This is Bill. The lines are open. If you want to give us a call, any follow-ups from any readings that you've had, any interesting stories and unusual events that you've had to you recently or, in the distant past, please give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. Today's show is Tarot Lessons Part 2. And we've got some other interesting subjects to share with you. So sit back, open your minds, and please enjoy the show. Any minute now.
That was crazy. Oh my goodness. How are you doing right now?
All right. That was, in case everyone wondered, that was Ween. on Ocean Month, in case anybody was wondering. I found that song. Well, mainly because it was on the end of the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, so that's how I found it. But they've been around for a long time. They've got quite a few albums out. So if you want to check out the album Mollusk, that's a good album. It's got some good songs in it. So. Yeah.
I like their song Baby Bitch.
I know, I didn't think... I saw that before and I didn't listen to it. I think I chose something else. I think I was listening to Buckingham Green.
Mm-hmm. So, it's got a lot of bad words in it.
Like what?
Like F-U-U, stupid A-W. That's what they're singing in the song. They're
A-W? Oh. Well, do you spell it?
I'm saying
as a whole.
I'm
the way you were spelling it, that it's like a whole lot of it.
No, it's a whole lot of it.
Right, okay.
It's like, baby, 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 bitch. F-U-U, stupid A-D.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, that's just letting... Oh, children may be listening. I'm sorry. I'm frustrated with the system again, because today, once again... You know, I had to, within a 7-minute period, I had to uninstall Skype, reinstall it, and it still wouldn't work properly. But thank goodness you were the hero today within 30 seconds of the show starting. And then, oh, my goodness.
I was right grateful for you. I thought, right, I've recovered this well. And then someone went and played a song right in the middle of my talk.
No, that's not true.
I guess Ween couldn't wait to get started.
Well, today's topics, let's talk about the topics real quickly. Today's topics are tarot lesson, the tarot lesson part two. Last week we had everybody pull out cards that were going to be special to them and then go through those cards and basically eliminate cards down to 13. Keep those cards out of your deck for the week. Study them, sleep with them, kiss them and hug them, take them out to eat, whatever you need to do.
Wipe them off when you're finished.
Yes. And whatever you need to do. And then this week we're actually going to be, if anybody wants to call in and talk about their cards, interpretations of their cards.
You better call in.
Yes. And we can do that, but what we're basically going to be doing is we're going to be assimilating those cards back into the deck, and then we're going to start doing simple, very, very simple 3-card spreads, spreads that will basically help you. And they're going to be spreads where you already have the answer, and you'll be able to see how you can interpret these cards to be true to you. And so, but we'll talk about that. So you need to grab your deck, and you need to grab your deck too.
You're
and
talking to me.
You know I am. I'm always pointing at you.
I've already got them.
But we'll start talking about that in a moment. And we're also going to be talking about, you know, just topics. Topics.
Like people being buried alive.
Oh, my goodness. Is that happening?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about it. Tell us about
it. No, you can't go straight into it. That's later. That's what we're going to be talking about. You always want to know stuff that we talk about it in a bit. You always want to know right now. Well, you can.
Is that a quality that you're annoyed with?
Quality?
That I'm always rushing.
Always rushing. Ski.
Rushinsky?
Yeah. Well, we'll do that in a bit.
Okay.
Because we were talking about things that were coming up. That's not coming up. Just. We've got some other stuff to talk about before then. It could look like that.
You don't like that face?
No, not really.
Well, you know, I'm also really excited because next week. And I know we're just kind of touching on what we're going to be, some things that we're going to be doing. But next week we're going to have rare interviews with this man. Yeah, this man, he is a healer from the olden days. He's also someone who is, you know, just knows a lot of things. He has just lots and lots of knowledge. And we have some rare interviews. We have, so far we have about 3 segments put together, but we'll have more with a man. His name is Colin Doyle. And so that's going to be really exciting for us to be able to sit back and listen to, you know, segments over the next month or so.
That's right.
Of his him sharing experiences,
areas as well, like poltergeists and you know, strange beings and things like that. So that'll be cool.
That really will be cool. Did you say strange beans? What kind of beans?
Green beans.
Strange green.
Well, I've edited the audio. Hopefully, you can hear him okay. He couldn't talk very loud because he's got ME. And it affects his voice sometimes. So sometimes I come through really powerful, and he's like really kind of like quiet.
Oh, you mean you come through really loudly, and he comes?
No, powerful.
Oh, that's what they call it, powerful.
So I was flexing the muscles on the interview. So there you go. Yeah, hopefully it sounds okay. But that'll be next week. So you know, tune in for some interesting, interview, one of a kind.
It's going to be, it's very, very special. I think it's very special. I really do. And I'm glad that he was able to set aside the time to do those.
Yeah, so am I. It was my idea, and I thought it should have been documented, you know, because we never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So.
Yeah. You know,
I do with other people as well, you know, just keep doing it, just documenting people's stories and interviewing them. I might even get a chance to do some of the Spirit Quest UK team, you know, because like I said, I booked myself in for another ghost thing, which is actually, it's not that far away, you know. Let me look at my calendar. It's actually going to be, it's under 3 weeks before I go on my next ghost hunting tour.
Right.
Tour. No, sorry, paranormal investigation and the cellars. And so it's going to be cool.
Exciting.
Once again, it's going to be, I think it's going to be even longer than last time because I need to actually get to the place. So it's going to be like from 8 in the evening till probably about 3:30 in the morning. So. But it'll be worth it, it'll be worth it. And this time I'm going to take some, because like I said, when I sat down during the break, everybody started cracking open flasks of tea and sandwiches and stuff. And I was like, oh. But I might have a cold sausage roll and some water. So it wasn't too bad. They did have sausage rolls in there. Tell you what, the sausage rolls were nice. There were some good sausage rolls. And so... It did say bring your own refreshments if you want, but, you know, I don't want to be doing the sitting there with a whole turkey bread and stuff. Like.
You walk around with a picnic blanket and a picnic basket.
Yeah.
Because that's what I would be doing. I'd be going, look what I brought. Kicking back with the video games. Refreshments. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
An ice cream sandwich in your pocket?
Yeah. No.
Not a good idea.
On my phone, anyway. Hey! You understand?
Yes.
Very good. Yes.
So let's, can we talk about what you were talking about now?
No. It's going to be coming in a bit. Let's talk about all the good stuff. We need to talk about the rubbishy stuff first, and then people keep it. I'm not going to keep missing that rubbish stuff. I don't talk about that. Calm down. All right, well, let me think. Okay, I just closed it down. Where is it? One moment.
Okay. Remember, everybody, our lines are open. We had some callers, and While we were talking, they hung up. So, but everybody remember, our lines are open. The number is 347-215-8421. If you have anything that you want to share as far as just, you know, a topic, a metaphysical topic, anything, a strange occurrence, anything that's happened to you, if you want a simple sample reading, you know, give us a call and, you know, we'll talk to you.
Right. As I was going to say, just a couple of things from the news this week. The owner of a coach company was stunned after council bosses fined one of his staff for driving in a bus lane, even though he was driving a bus. John Henderson, owner of Henderson Travel, was baffled after the driver was slapped with a £60 penalty charge by Glasgow City Council. The fine, which is reduced to £30 if it is paid within 14 days, was issued after a vehicle from his bus fleet drove on a city centre road designated for buses, taxis and cyclists only. He said, "It is sheer stupidity that a bus can be fined for driving in a bus lane. This was a proper bus. It's a small to medium size with 27 seats. It's important, make notes on that. But it's still a bus.
Right.
It's an overzealous attack by the council. It goes on, but I mean, that's just stupid."
And was it, is now, what was it, because I may have missed it, but I don't think I did. Why did they get fined?
Because he was driving in the bus lane. But he's got a bus. That's the whole point.
Was it maybe the amount of people in the bus? Maybe there was nobody in it except for the driver. But that still shouldn't matter, should it?
No. It's like a, I guess, cycle path.
Gosh, that is...
Be driving on a cycle path and getting fined. That's for cyclists only. But be driving that bus in that bus lane, that's for bus people. Mr. Busman driver.
Wow. Maybe it wasn't a city bus. Was it just for city buses? But it was a. But it was actually a Greyhound or
it
you know...
It needs to be debunked. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's okay.
Oh, wow. You just sat.
No, it's the point is, you shouldn't have been fined because he's driving a bus, right?
Right.
And he's driving in a designated bus lane, four buses.
I'm just trying to reason with it. I'm just like, what was the purpose of him getting fined? Because he was doing the right thing. And
because
so,
the council... Council, I don't know, they got working for the council, but I don't know. Tell you what, let me continue. Let's have a look. Cathedral Street has been revealed as the second most prolific money-generating street in Glasgow after a council crackdown on the illegal use of bus lanes. More than £500,000 in fines has been made after almost 20,000 motorists were caught driving in the bus lane between April 23rd, when the council launched its CCTV crackdown on bus lanes, and December 31st last year. The city's biggest cash generator is Glasford Street's bus lane, which has netted around 28,000 drivers, allowing the council to take in nearly £700,000 from fines. John, who has owned the company for 30 years, accused council bosses of using the lanes as a way of raking in cash. Well, yes. He said, "This has reinforced me that bus lanes are one big money-making exercise.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with trying to keep traffic running smoothly, which is what bus lanes are meant for." A Glasgow City's council spokesman said the fine was sent out in error. He said another vehicle was in the lane behind the bus lane, and it was included in the picture taken by the bus lane camera. A notice was sent out by mistake and has now been cancelled. It really... So they go, how did... Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, what more can I say?
Well, I just want everybody to know that this is nuts, but over the next few days, you know, they are deliberating. They are voting about who becomes the next pope. And when I become pope, you're not going to have to worry about these things.
You know, do what we were on about before?
Right. We're not going to have to worry about buses being fined for being in bus lanes. And we're not going to have to worry about that when I'm Pope.
When you Pope. Can you use it as like a verb word? Like a doing word?
When I'm Poping. When I'm Poping, you will not have to worry
about it. It's not such a good word, actually, thinking about it.
What, you don't like?
Why did you got a joke for you?
Okay.
Why did the baker's hand smell?
Oh, I'm afraid. Why?
Because he needed a poo.
I do too, actually. Let's play a song.
What? All right.
Actually, I need to get a drink of water.
Yeah. Of water, in
of
inverted commas. You gonna play that cool song?
No.
Oh, you haven't got that lined up yet?
I did manage to get it lined up for you, but it's not long enough. So we're gonna take a break. We're gonna play it. We're gonna play it. But we're going to take a call after that. After that, we're going to talk to the caller at 301. And
301.
And then we're going to listen to a song, talk to the people at 301. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Tarot Lesson Part 2. And then after that, that should be enough time for the story tease to have his story straight. We'll be right back.
Maybe.
Hi. My name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
Oh my goodness, that was so beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. Let's take this caller at 301. 301, this is Broken Earth. You're speaking with Bill and Nunu. How can we help you today?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, lately I've been on a writing kick. I've been writing a lot, mainly working on a screenplay. And I just wanted to know if you saw anything coming of that.
Well, first off, who are we speaking with? What's your name, dear?
My name is Amanda.
Amanda, it's very nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you. A screenplay. Let's see, dear. Let's see what's going on with you. What I believe we really should be doing is looking at your cycles. If you've ever listened to us before, is this the first time you're hearing us?
No.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if you have heard us before, sometimes we do talk about life cycles. And cycles are the time roughly between summer to summer, like July to July. That's the rough time right there, but basically summer to summer, where there's things that happen with us that trigger the things that we'll be dealing with over like the next little while, like the next year or so. So if we focus on your cycles, we'll be able to see how you will have success. Now, right now, you're actually in a very interesting cycle because it's about stacking your options up. And it's also about winning people over to your side because you have many different options. You know, if you wanted to make this a screenplay, if you wanted to turn this into a novel, if you wanted, you know, however it is that you want to take this, remember, stack up your options. And that's going to be the way that you win people over to your advantage. Now, you're actually in this cycle right now, and your next cycle is actually going to be a one that is about timing. Both of these are creative cycles. In tarot, the baton suit or wands, sticks, staves, staffs, whatever you want to call them, this is the suit that is about spiritual things, creative things, mental things. So you're in a really good place for creativity and the headspace that you're in right now. And remember, it's about expanding your options. So when you shop out your item, when you shop out your work, you want to remember not just focus on one studio, but maybe even focus on TV station or TV, what are they called? Like Oprah's network, like TV networks, places that produce films or miniseries and stuff like that. Remember, keep your options open. And with you going into a cycle that's about timing, it means that you'll be sending things out. You may be hearing from people soon. You may be hearing from people later. But remember, it's about the ebb and flow. Now, the next cycle after that is actually called the Ace of Coins. And this is the money. This is the brain. We're basically what you're seeing is you follow your path and you'll see where you've got, you do have your success. So basically we see you holding your brass ring. The cycle after that is called the Queen of Cups. And this is basically showing you that you're going to be a favorite person and you're going to have small, if I follow this to actually give you not just a projection of how to succeed, but also to focus in on what I actually do see happening, regardless of what you do, you're going to have these small places where you're going to see little instances of this happening. For example, when I finally am able to just spread this all out here around, hold on, dear. September time, you're going to see yourself in a time period where people are actually talking to you and taking you seriously. So what I'm going to say is if you get your stuff sent out probably around but do you think that you would have your stuff realistically ready by May?
No.
No? Okay. Okay.
But I am planning on going back to school.
Okay. Right. Now, yeah. Now, because around May time, there's some things happening with you, May, June time, that's that time frame right here, where you're going to see yourself being taken very seriously, and you're going to find yourself around that time period, around September, getting a lot of attention for the talents that you do have. So basically what we're seeing is we probably do need to project out wider like I was doing originally.
Mm-hmm.
So basically keep your options open, okay? And when I mean options, I don't mean think about becoming a nurse. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're working on a screenplay, but you may want to turn it into an actual play, or you may want to turn it into a novel, or you may want to shop it to Lifetime Channel, or you may want to shop it to Oprah. You may want to shop it to Fox. You know, I'm just giving you, you know, remember to keep your options open, and this is the way you're going to be able to win people over, okay? And then when you go into your next cycle, it's about time. And your cycle after that is a big financial cycle, but it's also about you holding the brass ring and people taking you very seriously. So I really do see success, but you really need to focus on your cycles right now, okay? And I hope this helps you with projecting when you need to have things done and when you need to put things out there. Because if you really should, and I know it may seem like it's impossible, but you probably need to have some stuff done by the summertime so you can get some stuff put out there. And then over the next year, you're going to see that you have responses, or you're going to have people that are giving you feedback. And then the cycle after that, you're actually seeing something happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I hope that makes sense. All right?
It does. Yes.
Yeah. So okay, well, Amanda, good luck. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for listening, dear. And remember, like us on Facebook and let us know how you're doing. Keep in touch, okay?
I will.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You there? Can you hear me? Can you see me? Do you know me? What were you going to say?
That's quite funny, this. A Danish television channel admitted yesterday it mistakenly used a screenshot from a computer game in its news report about Syria. News anchor Cecile Beck, you have to say it with an accent, presented a segment about the conflict in the Middle Eastern country while sitting in front of a picture taken from an adventure game, Assassin's Creed. You get the picture there. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but that is quite funny. Well, they used a screenshot from Assassin's Creed because they thought it was Syria when they were doing a report in Syria.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't think it's quite as bad as the Olympics somewhere. Where was it? I'm not sure. It wasn't the last Olympics. It was a big sports event anyway. Athletics event. And somebody accidentally played Borat's version of the Kazakhstan anthem instead of the proper anthem.
Oh, you be quiet.
Seriously.
Oh, my goodness. So you know that all they did was download it and didn't even listen to it.
Yeah, they were like, I think you probably used the first result on YouTube, and I'll use that.
That is absolutely, it's just horrible. I mean, it's funny to us, but it's horrible for, you know, anyone who's trying to, you know, be diplomatic about things. It's horrendous for diplomacy.
I know, so, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, well, someone commented, there's two comments on that. One was, the graphics, the designers for it should be proud. They should take it as a compliment, you know. And the other thing was, don't. This is why you shouldn't believe everything you see on the TV.
I wonder if whoever put it up there was actually just trying to be funny. Probably not, because it's their job.
It would have been bad taste, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would be. Well, you know, one of the topics, let's get this, you know, talked about and discussed. And
let's get it over with. That's what you were going to say.
You need to quit completing my sentences that are in my head and not actually coming out of my mouth.
Okay.
we're talking about tarot lessons. Last week, we were discussing the, a way to create a bond between you and your deck, but it's actually between you and certain cards. So we said, go through your deck. Find cards that mean something to you. Think about what it is that you really want to be or you ultimately strive to accomplish. Pull out the cards and with your book, go through your book and pull out the cards. If you're not familiar with your deck or just, you know, if you're just learning or even if you are and you just want to see how you can, you know, improve on things. Pull out the cards that are very special to you. Cards that actually make you feel this is going to help me accomplish some goals. Then go through those cards and pull out 13. And these are going to become your power cards. You're going to keep these cards out of the deck for about a week, and you're going to study them, meditate with them. They're going to become your best buddies. Now, right now, what we're going to start to do is we're going to actually, is there a particular card that you've been studying? Because I know you've been doing this all week, and because you've been real wonderful about it. Is there a particular card that you have found has really become more special to you than the others, more special than you thought it would be, or just something that just really makes you sit and think?
I think it's probably going to be the Ten of Pentacles or the Ten of Coins.
Right.
I think I touched on some of this last week, you know, just because of the meaning of it, because, like I say, it reminds me of, you know, keeping my home safe and family, and it kind of reminds me of, like, a special bond, you know.
Yeah.
And also it's got pictures on it, which kind of remind me of family, I guess. But so, yeah.
Okay. So what you're saying is that, you know, security, feeling safe, you know, not throwing yourself out there into situations that you know are dangerously risky. How you feel about yourself, your self-esteem, that sort of thing. These are things that are really, really, really important to you. So when we start to assimilate your cards, and does anybody in the room have any card that they found has become more special to them over the week? We don't have a lot of our people in the room this week, but that's okay because people often listen on demand. But, you know, just whatever cards have actually become very special to you, take note of this. And remember, now it's about putting the cards back into the deck. And what we're going to start doing is we're going to do some simple 3-card spreads. So put your cards back in.
Into the whole pack?
Yeah, just put all your cards back together. And, you know, you're going to get your cards nice and shuffled up and, you know, just, you know, get them all back in there together. And 3-card spreads that are very simple right now, what you're going to be doing is you're going to ask your guides, because remember, the tarot cards are sometimes we have a hard time hearing what our guides are telling us, or we're not quite sure if what we're hearing is something that's just happening through our own minds or if it's actually messages that we're getting. tarot cards are our guides talking to us. And the actual psychic part of this is knowing when you look at a spread where it could mean dozens of different things, knowing what it actually means to the person you're talking to. The difference between being an intuitive card reader and being somebody who's just basically learned through the book, somebody who could just, you know, read the book and tell you, you know, like, well, this card says it's about marriage. It's about knowing if it's about marriage or if it's about full sharing or if it's about, you know, two hearts that are becoming more connected. It's about knowing which way to read this and which way to interpret it for the person who's talking to you. So it's the difference between being a fortune cookie and being an actual intuitive reader and trusting your gut, because your guides are going to talk to you in a way that you understand. Your cards and your guides are not going to reveal something to you that you're not ready to understand. So a simple reading is something like, Bill, ask me a question that we both know the answer to.
Okay. What color is my rug?
All right. So what I'm doing is I'm shuffling the cards. And I am going to only use three. And when I open this up, I have the Two of Coins, the Page of Batons, and it's upside down, and the Lover card, and it's upside down. Now, my cards, the Two of Coins, of course, is going to be a golden card. But Two of Coins also can specify that there are two key colors, two major colors, two main colors in the rug.
Mm-hmm.
The next card, which is the Page of Batons, in my deck, the batons, especially the page, is wearing a red or kind of like a rusty reddish brown color. And because it's upside down, it makes me see that perhaps one side of the rug has more of this color on it than the other. The next card is the Lover card. The Lover card has white, black or brown, and also this rusty red color. So basically we see that it's a multicolored rug, but it primarily has this rusty color, I believe. And also it's got some other colors in it with like some gold and brown and black and white and red. So those are the colors that my guides are saying your rug is. Now look down at your rug and tell us what color it is. Or maybe not.
Green.
That was completely...
Well, to be honest with you, because I did recently change it, but the other one was brown and the cream color, which fits in with that. But like I said, I did recently change it.
Okay.
It's got like yellow-green. So
he just said, what color is my rug? Or what was your actual question?
What color is my rug?
Okay, so...
Sorry, I should have been more specific.
No, that's okay. That's fine. But these are the colors that the deck
says. Yeah, that's right. That's what's come up is correct for my rug. I recently changed it. Yeah.
Okay. But the thing is that now, let's see what color the rug is that you are sitting on. Let's try that.
I'm not sat on it. It's
You're not sitting on it? Okay, well, let's see what...
My foot's on it.
The color of the rug that your foot is on. Let's try that. We're just trying it out. All right. And we're going to see.
Everybody's waiting in anticipation to find out what color my rug is.
Well, you know, I don't really have any cards that are green, but the Fool card does show up, and my Fool card is blue.
That's
and
me.
Green. Yeah, you are. I'm just kidding. You're not foolish. And then I have another card that shows the Page of Cups, which is like a watery color. And then you know what I mean? And then I have the Magician card show up, which is not any of those colors, but it's You know, it's to me, because the magician card is about mixing things. What we're basically being told is to mix like the blue and green together to give you probably what color green is it?
It's kind of like a bluey green with little tinges of yellow in it, I guess.
Yeah, and
God damn it! Why did I buy such a complicated rug? Can I just like get one color? It would have been so much easier.
And my page of cups, my cut people are blonde. So that's, you know, so this is going to help us. But anyway, you're doing three card spreads and asking, and you have a friend play with you, and you're going to ask questions that you guys will both know the answer to, because you're reading the card not only based upon what, well, with Bill's question, we're looking at what the cards look like. And with that magician mix up in there, it's about something that can be mixed or stirred. Even if the temperance card showed up, because the temperance card is a card that's indicative of alchemy, that would have fit as well. But basically, it's about asking questions now that you clearly know the answers to. And that's going to be a way that you can start to see yourself and your cards really knowing how to talk to each other. Because remember, the cards are just, they're your guides talking to you. They're your guides. It's a way for you to understand what they're saying. Cards are not, you know, some people say, I don't want anybody touching my cards, or don't use anybody's card. I mean, you may not want to do that if you want to have them and treat them like, you know, they are special, don't get me wrong, but they themselves are the conduit between you and whoever it is that you communicate with. Because I've known people who've actually made their own tarot cards, and, you know, they've communicated with those really well. So, you know, there's even people on the network, on the Blog Talk Radio network, that have their own decks that they've made, and they sell or they give away. So, you know, there you go. So
that's my insight into the cards.
That's lesson number two. Now, remember, right now what we're doing is we're assimilating the cards back into the deck, and we're doing very, very simple three-card spreads that you already know the answer to, so you can see how the cards respond to you and how your interpretation of them makes them accurate. There you go.
Cool.
Now, we're gonna take a caller in a moment. We're going to take the caller from 917 after our next song, and after Bill shares something with us. But what were you going to say?
What?
About the stuff you were going to talk about.
All right. Well, I'll get into because I want to talk about, you know, the people being buried alive, but that's going to be quite, you know, it's quite extensive. So.
Okay. So you want to take a break and take a call and then do it?
Yeah, sure, yeah. You're
okay.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's what we're going to do. But everybody, if you have a question, if you want to talk to us about the tarot stuff we've been talking about, if you have a simple question that you would like to have for your reading, give us a call. The number is 347-215-8421. This is Broken Earth, and we will be right back.
Maybe we're once so human, but if we cry.
a very interesting song.
Yeah, well, you know, that was actually Marilyn Manson, in case anybody thought it was totally awesome. I wanted to know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanical Animals.
Well, I was listening to the words, and, you know, for us talking about cards and stuff, it was interesting about him singing about being a suicide king.
Yeah.
Let's take the caller. We're going to take the caller at 917.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, hiya. I'm calling from New York City.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from New York City.
Okay.
And I'm the person who has the tech questions.
Okay. What's your name, dear?
Renee.
Yeah. And what's your question about your cat?
One question is about my orange and white cat. Is he okay right now?
You want to know if your orange and white cat is okay right now?
Yes.
Hold on just a moment.
Okay.
Has it gone missing or?
Hold on, we're going to see what's going on with her cat. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Chariot, star. So there's the cat. I want to make sure that I'm seeing some things okay. But it looks like your cat is staying with someone else.
Really?
Have you moved, or is your cat?
No.
Basically, it looks like there's something going on here with a chariot and this cat and a whole bunch of people, or maybe some other cats.
So he's fine though, right now.
Well, I mean, he looks like he's okay, but I'm just trying to see what his circumstances are, because it looks like he's with a whole bunch of people or other animals, but it does look like he's okay.
So you mean somebody took him?
Well, it looks like he's with, it's basically a chariot comes by, sees him in the distance. There's like there's somebody that sees him. And then it looks like they take
him. Animal control, is it?
Maybe, because it looks like there's a whole bunch of animals around. That he looks like he's okay, but it just looks like there's a lot of animals around.
Oh my gosh! It sounds like animal control. But is he scared right now?
Is he scared?
Uh-huh.
It looks like he didn't expect to do this situation to be going on with him, but it looks like it looks like for the most part he's okay.
Oh my god! So can you see will he be fine though? Because I don't know where to look for him though.
Well, if you call, you probably need to call animal control, because if you don't, he won't be okay.
Okay.
So right now he looks like he's all right, but get in touch with him so you can get your cat back.
Okay.
All right, Renee, thank you for listening, dear.
Oh, okay.
And let us know how you're doing, okay?
Okay, all right, bye.
All right, dear, bye-bye. I hope she gets her cat back.
I thought she was going to ask you something else then, but...
Well, you know, we got to keep...
Of course, we got more people.
Right, we do have a few more people, and I want to take another caller. The caller at 815-815, this is Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
Very good, dear, very good. Share with us how you are, or whatever your question is.
Well, I don't know how this actually works or what you pick up on easier, so I'm just going to put two out there, and whatever you get, it's either... financial, you know, money aspects coming up for me, or relationship, either one.
Okay, so let's just kind of see what kind of change is coming into your life first. And real quickly, what's your name?
Tammy.
Tammy, okay. Hold on just a moment, Tammy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Also, if anybody, wants to connect with us privately, you can get in touch with us on our website. We'll post the link. Bill can post the link in the chat room.
Yeah, there's an old code address to read out.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook under Psychic Nunu and also Broken Earth Radio Show. But right now, your financial situation kind of looks like it's going to be, it says it's stagnant, which doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that it's nothing really different right now.
Right.
But your romance is actually what does show up. And basically, it says that you're going to be dealing with somebody. Now, I want to just kind of ask you a question. Are you seeing somebody or talking to somebody who's not local to you?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, there's a person who shows up here, and basically what you're being told is soon you connect, but eventually there's the journey. To me, this looks like you're going to be connecting with someone who is not local, or there's some sort of distance between the two of you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to Boston probably in May.
Okay, yeah, because it's like soon you connect, but then there's the journey. So basically, if you're talking to any friends in Boston and they want to hook up with you, or they want to introduce you to somebody, whatever your
mm-hmm.
situation is, it looks like eventually when you take the journey, on the other side of the journey, which is basically what happens from there, is it looks like you have a really great time, to be honest. I mean, a really, really super time. I mean, you have a great time personally. You have a good time as far as relaxation and kicking back, and you know what I mean. So
right.
it's just saying you have a good trip. And just to let you know, the description of the person is he's either somebody who is old military, or he has dark skin and very fair skin. I'm sorry, dark hair and very fair skin. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, dear, and let us know how you're doing. Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You both have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Now, remember, if anybody wants to talk about our tarot lessons, we love that. If anybody has any stories to share, we love that too. Or, like I said, simple sample questions as well. But if you want to get in touch with us for a more thorough reading, remember just to get in touch with us on Facebook or through our website, which is Broken Earth Radio. What were you going to say?
You can get in contact with me.
Or, yes, you can get... Or if you had some issues with health issues, or just some sort of thing that you need you want someone to do some distant spiritual healing on you, get in touch with Bill at Bill Doyle, that's D as in David, O-Y-L-E, at live.com.
And also, you should go to the website, which I posted in the chat room there, and if you go to the media page, there's actually a meditative relaxation that I created there. It's about 15 minutes long, and it should help you have a great night's sleep if you listen to it in bed, and make you feel rejuvenated. So get over there and check it out.
Yeah. Very wonderful. Very, very wonderful. Okay, so we do have some more callers, and after this segment, we're going to be talking to the caller at 949. We usually are on at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK, but because of the time change, we chose to go on ahead and continue the 8 p.m. UK. But it was 3 p.m. today, Central, and 4 p.m. Eastern. But when everything gets flopped in the right direction, we're going to go back to our regular time period. And we're usually on Tuesdays unless we have some strange situation that takes us away from that, which is what happened last week.
Yeah, because during these times, the Earth turns into an egg shape, which accounts for the time change there.
Whatever.
Sorry, I don't mean to be spreading disinformation. Please don't believe that.
All right. Tell us about the Boogity Boo.
Oh, maybe in a bit.
What?
Maybe a bit late. Okay, this is some segments like from a book which has been released called Premature Burial.
Oh, my God.
And how it may be prevented.
Do people still do that?
Walter Hadwin, William Tebb, and Edward Perry Vallum.
Gollum.
Okay. Here's one of the stories. You ready? Gather round. Mary Best was 17 years old when she contracted cholera in India. All alone since her adopted mother left the country some months earlier, Mary suffered hours of agonizing stomach cramps and sickness. Her pulse became weaker and weaker until, at last, the doctor pronounced her dead. She was buried in the vault of her adoptive family a few hours later in the French cemetery in Calcutta. The year was 1871, and cholera victims were generally buried very soon after death to prevent the germ spreading. In India's tropical heat, a rapid burial was all the more necessary. Nobody questions Mary's hasty interment, but 10 years later, when the vault was opened to admit the body of Mary's newly deceased uncle by adoption, the undertaker and his assistant were greeted by a horrifying sight. The lid of Mary's coffin, which had been nailed down, was on the floor. The girl's skeleton was half in, half out of the coffin, and the right side of her skull bore a large, ugly fracture. The fingers of her right hand were bent, as if clutching at something, perhaps her throat, and her clothes were torn. Mary, it seemed, had not been dead when she was nailed into a coffin, but merely unconscious. Cholera victims frequently fell into a coma, and it was in the state that Mary had been buried. Some hours or days later, she awoke with no idea where she was. The utter terror she endured, her futile screams for help can barely be imagined. Then, realizing she was not being heard, she tried desperately to push the coffin lid off. Straining every muscle, she eventually burst it open. Perhaps the effort was so great that she fell forward through exhaustion or fainting and struck her head on the stone shelf, dying instantly. More likely, however, finding herself in the pitch darkness of the vault, Mary went mad with terror, tore at her clothes, tried to throttle herself, and then banged her head and died. It transpired that the doctor who had certified her death had much to gain by her demise. Having twice tried to kill Mary's adopted mother, perhaps in an attempt to get his hands on her money, which is why she had fled India, Mary might have even witnessed his actions. Horrifying as her fate was, in Victorian times and before, it was not unusual, as one might imagine. Until the medical advances of the 20th century, methods of determining death were far from reliable and could involve applying hot bread to the soles of the feet to check for reactions. Some people were so terrified at the thought of waking up in a coffin, they demanded in their wills that steps to be taken after their death, such as slitting their throats or dragging a stake through the heart to prevent horrific fate.
That is terrifying. That is terrifying. It's one, you know, I cannot listen to a lot of Poe because of, you know, his stories about stuff like that.
Well, there's more.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we can continue with that, you know.
Yeah, we can always toss in some of that wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's take a caller. Yeah, we'll take the caller from 949. We do have quite a few people in the queue. So remember, everybody, if you have
take
something
a ticket
to share,
and sit down.
if you have something to share about our topic, which is basically the tarot lesson, and also, you know,
just buried alive.
Anything that you just kind of wanted to talk about, let us know. And if you have a reading, remember to keep your questions simple because it's for sampling. And also, we want to keep all of our callers and listeners enthralled. But let's take the caller at 949. Hello, this is Broken Earth. You're speaking with Nunu and Bill. How can we help you?
Hi. I'm calling about a situation regarding my ex-husband. He seems to continue to harass me. We've been divorced for a couple of years, but we do have a son that's 11 years old, and he lives with me. And, you know, I try to get along, try to be his friend, but it doesn't seem like he just doesn't want to do that. Now I got word that he has done some court papers and stuff, so we'll have to go in and renegotiate. So I wanted to know, would it be in my favor? Because he's been doing just, like, really negative stuff to his son.
Okay. What state are you in?
California.
You're in California?
Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Let's see. What we basically want to see is if anything is going to change, okay? I know a lot of states in the United States are different. California is one of those places where, you know, anything kind of goes. So we're gonna see if anything is really going to change. Hold on just a moment. Let's see. Okay. And you said your son is 11?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Okay. All right.
I just wanted him to be nice.
Right. Okay. So basically, his issue really looks like it's about money. No matter what, it looks like it's really about money. Mm-hmm. And what it looks like is going to end up happening here. I want to ask you something. Reworking of the paperwork, is there anything here about, like, him wanting to have more time or being able to take trips? I mean, what is he asking for? Because there's just, and the reason I'm asking you this is because it does look like there may be a small adjustment, but not much. And it looks like it's a card that represents a journey.
Well, in the summertime, majority of the time he's with him in the summer. He has the full game. It's like I do all the work, okay? He lives with me, and I work with him with his homework, and then on the weekends he's with his dad. I only have one weekend with him.
Okay. So, so in the paperwork, because see, the thing
I said I would like to change that in transportation. I drive our son to him and it's about both ways.
Maybe that's the thing that changes, because like I said, the only thing that seems to change is transportation.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, in my favor?
Yeah, I mean, everything looks like it really stays exactly the same. And like I said, the only thing that's different is transportation. And if the only transportation issue that you have or that's in there is about him needing to be the person that picks him up and all that, that looks like that's the only thing that's different. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I want.
Yeah, so that's the only thing that changes. That's it.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you.
All right,
so
dear.
Much.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to the person at 706. We also have a caller from 484, and Gussie is also here. So let's listen to a song, take a little break. You know, I had started the kettle and never made the tea.
And you know, just quickly, I noticed this a few minutes ago, that Nicolas Cage was supposed to be the original person to be Shrek instead of Mike Myers. I can't really see that working out, really, myself. But anyway, that's food for thought. There you go.
He is Shrek. He's Shrekly. Okay, we'll be right back, everybody. This is Broken Earth Radio.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
This is Bill and Nunu. How can we help you?
Yes. I was just wondering if you see any children in my future.
Children. What's your name, dear?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. Okay. Hold on just a moment, Tiffany. Let's see. All right. Bitter concrete right here. And truth is revealed right here. And there we go. Okay, first off, I want you to just make sure, let us know about you now. You know, I'm kind of wondering about if you're pregnant now or if you just will be soon. Here, basically, in two steps, it looks like things are concrete, and then you find out. So, if I change this into a timeline, dear, it looks like you may know in around the second or so week of May. Okay, that you are, okay? And then we've got a child coming in. Hold on just a moment. Okay. Oh, dear. Let's say that this is June, July, August, September, October. Hold on just a moment. I'm counting all funky. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So, what's 10 months from June?
I don't know.
I'm counting off funky. 7, 6, four, it's April. So if I back up April, maybe February or something like that. Yeah, my timing is all funky, and it's all funky because I'm being told when you find out. And then when I advance forward, I see the child, but it's all scattery. Here, the timing is all funky, but it does look like you should have a child next year, okay? But it looks like you should be finding out that you are in May, but it looks like that you'll be about between like maybe 6 weeks or 2 months along in that at that point. That's why I'm wondering if you're pregnant now or if you just will be. You know what I mean? You could be. It looks like you'll find that in May. I don't want to. You know, stick myself in the leg too hard with trying to give you too many facts. But it does look like you will be. And like I said, it looks like you should have the child in the beginning of next year. Okay. So yeah,
so the child
we see it. What now?
Do you have a vision of the child and what?
Well, the child. The child in the cards. Because right now, you know, we're talking about tarot readings, and I'm just trying to stick to the cards right now. The cards, the child shows up as the Ace of Coins, which it would be female with dark hair and dark skin.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you.
No problem, dear. Good luck. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's take this caller from 484 real quickly, and then we'll talk about that hot topic that's on your mind. 484, this is Nunu and Bill. How can we help you?
Hi, Nunu. This is Antoinetta calling you. How are you?
Very good, Antoinetta. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm doing very good. I was just calling to see what kind of things that you see coming up for me in my life.
Okay, Antoinetta, that question is not a simple sample reading question. That's a real reading question. So why don't you ask us something that you just need like a clear, concise answer to that's going to be quick for us to answer. Because if you need a real reading, you need to get in touch with us off the radio show and actually buy a reading, okay? But what's your question, dear?
Saturday morning I woke up to a few text messages from Dan, the guy that I used to date. And basically he said, hey, and whatever. And then he said, wrong person, sorry. I need to know what is the deal with him, because I don't feel that he accidentally texted me. I feel like there's more to the story that I really don't know.
Okay, well, let's see what he was doing by sending you that text, okay? Hold on just a moment. And you said his name is Dan? Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's see. Okay. And here he is.
Yeah, I haven't been in touch with him at all. So.
It looks like it had been a while. It looks like it had been had it been 2 weeks or had it been 2 months since you guys had spoken when he sent that?
Actually, I backed away on my own without telling him February 22nd. So it was 2 weeks to right on the nail, 2 weeks, yes.
Okay, all right.
And then he sent me that bogus text message.
He just, honestly, he was just trying to get you to say something to him. But it looks like he was trying to get you, feeling a little insecure so that you would just say, what do you mean? Who are you talking to? Just because from the game he's playing with this is, well, any response is better than no response. So he was trying to get you ticked off at him to get you to open up a conversation. And
it was to get you upset.
So that's what that was about. Because apparently he thought that if he was kind to you, just saying, hey, what's up, then maybe you wouldn't answer. So that's what that was about. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, Antoinette, and let us know how you're doing. And like I said, if you need a real reading that's all about you and it's all private, you can get in touch with us on Facebook, or our link is in the chat room and for Broken Earth Radio Show website, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. You there?
Yeah.
You awake?
Kinda.
He's getting sleepy.
Yeah, I am, right. Okay, continuing with the buried alive.
Let me tell everybody this real quickly. We're going to take one more caller after this because we really want to close the show out properly, because last week we kind of got sabotaged.
We got an angry person last week.
Bless his heart.
Okay. In a book published in 1905 and now reprinted, two doctors and a colleague represented a book of premature burials and their misses gathered from newspapers around the world. Perhaps the most disturbing cases were those where the victims came tantalizing close to being saved, only for the fear of incompetence of the living to seal their fates. In 1887 in France, a young man was being carried to his grave when the undertakers heard knocking from under the coffin lid. Afraid of creating panic among the mourners, they proceeded with the burial. But as the earth was being thrown on the coffin, everyone heard the knocking. Rather than remove the lid, they waited for the mayor to come. Why? By the time he arrived and the coffin was opened, the man inside had died of asphyxiation.
Are you? Oh, my God.
Get the mayor quick. He's got a special key for the coffin.
That is horrible.
There were other cases of people waiting for the authorities before opening the coffin. Only to find that it was his occupant had died minutes earlier. It's stupid.
That is nuts.
It was clear from the victim's contorted bodies, the nails torn from fingers and toes, and the expression of utter horror on the faces that had been trying to free themselves. Sometimes people who tried to prevent what they feared was a premature burial were dismissed as being mad with grief and unable to accept the reality of death. In 1851, Virginia McDonald, a girl living in New York, was buried after falling ill, despite her mother's insistence that her daughter was not dead. The family tried to reassure the hysterical woman, but to no avail, so they eventually had the body disinterred, which of course means to dig back up. They found the deceased girl lying on her side, her hands badly bitten. It seems she had woken in her coffin and begun eating her hands, either in terror or hunger. Similarly, in 1903, a 14-year-old boy is buried in France, having been forcibly removed from his mother, who protested that he was not dead. The day after his funeral, she was found digging in the earth with her bare hands, trying to reach the coffin. The coffin was duly opened, and the boy found inside. His body was twisted from trying to break out. He had died from suffocation. It is possible that in some cases, what were thought to be signs of frantic attempts to escape were caused by a natural process of putrefaction or rigor mortis. Grave robbers may in some cases have been responsible for the discovery of coffins with lids wrenched off and corpses in disarray, but sometimes there was no doubt that a living person had been buried. Some of the most heartbreaking cases involved women whose deaths followed a complicated pregnancy. Untreated, eclampsia?
Yeah, eclampsia.
In pregnancy can lead to seizures and even coma. This may have been the case with Virginia Merli, a peasant girl living in Italy, who was thought to have died from hysterics. Died from hysterics?
I'm sorry, it's not funny, but some of the names that they used to
get the mayor.
Get the mayor, she's hysterical.
She was interred into a vault in July 1890, although it is not clear why. The vault was opened 2 days later and it found the girl had regained consciousness, turned over in the coffin, and given birth to a child. Both were dead. Oh,
my goodness.
A Berkshire doctor related the story of another young mother, the wife of an army medical officer stationed in the tropics, who had suffered a severe head pain shortly after giving birth, despite the best efforts of the doctors, including, presumably, her husband.
What are you saying?
Somebody put dashes in the word. I don't understand what it's... Despite the best efforts of doctors, including, presumably, her husband, there we are, she died, or at least appeared to have done. She was immediately repaired for burial, but the intendants were unable to close her eyelids, so her eyes were open as the children came to pay their last respects. After they left, the woman's nurse began stroking the face of her dead mistress. To her amazement, she detected the sound of breathing and raised the alarm. Doctors held a mirror to her mouth, but there's no vapor on the mirror, and when they opened a vein in each arm, no blood flowed. They were convinced that the woman was indeed dead, and preparations for her burial continued. Yet the loyal nurse persisted, applying mustard to her mistress's feet and waving burnt feathers under her nose in hope of provoking an instinctive physical reaction. Mustard.
Would you just keep going and stop and just freak out about the mustard later?
Okay. Finally, she roused the woman from what was a trance. After her rescue, she said that she had been aware that her children had been there, saying, the goodbyes and of her coffin being brought in, but felt powerless to speak. She was, it seems, suffering some kind of temporary paralysis as a result of giving birth. Intriguingly, there are several cases of dogs saving their masters by barking at the coffin or attacking the pallbearers, forcing them to set the coffin down and open it up for the occupants, to find the occupants alive. Whether the animals somehow sense that these unfortunates were still living, we cannot know. Some of those who narrowly escaped being buried alive, they were so badly traumatized, they were never recovered. A girl named Sarah Ann Dobbins from Hereford was declared dead in 1879, having been in a trance for 3 weeks. Her body was laid on a preparation for burial and left in a locked room for the night. The next morning, it looked as though the body had moved a bit. A doctor was summoned, and the girl revived. 14 years later, she committed suicide by drowning herself in the River Wye.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, I'll leave that there.
I'm going to tell you, you know, even, and this is something that we may talk about at some point, people that have become voodoo zombies, when they wake up from their, from that poison, that, you know, because sometimes they're in those zombie-like states for years. But if they ever do wake up from that situation, they're never the same. Or even people that are buried alive, and because of, you know, they've been administered something that makes them appear dead, but their minds are fully aware of what's happening, they're never the same either. It's difficult. I mean, would you be? But anyhow, this stuff is scary. But you know, it's not something, I guess, that we really have to be concerned about these days, because, you know, with the whole, you know, the process of how they prepare people now, it's, we don't have to really be concerned about that, you know. I remember, you know, my grandmother worked, she was married to a mortician, and she worked in the embalming room, and she said that she would say, sometimes they're not dead, they get up and they walk around, but we know that those are muscles, people's muscles still kind of working. But she would say that, she would freak out and say stuff like that, and it would terrify the heck out of me when I was a kid, and she would tell us that stuff. And that, with Edgar Allan Poe stories and the type of stuff that you're reading right now, I mean, thanks for telling us this stuff before bedtime, Dad.
Well, I read somewhere, just quickly, that years ago, that some woman went to the doctors because she had some sort of STD. And it turned out that whatever it was that she had, had only been caught, it was something to get on dead bodies. And it turned out her husband worked in a morgue.
Oh, my goodness.
Do I need to say any more?
No, you don't have to say any more. That is absolutely crazy town. It's crazy.
Yep. Should have renamed this show. Bill Talks About.
I guess we will. For the archives, we'll change the name to Bill Goes Crazy and Talks About Scary Stuff.
Bill gets hysterical and calls the mayor.
Somebody call the mayor. He'll know what to do. Don't anybody open up any coffins until you call the mayor. That maybe that's what they were told to do. It's crazy. But, you know.
Did you have another call to take? Did you say?
I believe that they retired.
Okay, well, let's just say they retired from the phone line. Talking about crazy things. A disabled pensioner was recently stopped by German police for speeding on his electric cart. You know, on his little scooter thing.
Mm-hmm.
and reportedly ordered to continue his journey on foot. I always pick the difficult name. Klaus Dieter Stelnacker, 63, was on his way home in the town of Schrett in the eastern state of Brandenburg. Last week, when he zoomed past the parked police car, he was confronted by five officers who claimed he exceeded the 6 kilometer speed limit, which applies to drivers with no third-party insurance. He told the regional daily Markische Zeitung, according to specifications provided by the manufacturers. Anyway, forget that. Basically, they told him to get up off his scooter, which obviously these people need for mobility scooters, told him to get up and
walk it.
Continue the rest of the journey on foot while pushing the scooter.
Oh, my goodness. Europeans are, I can't generalize. I should not generalize, but I do know. You're different. Many of, I'm talking about actually getting into the, I'm not talking about Great Britain. It sounds like I'm clawing my way out of the dirt, but I'm really, really not. I'm talking about, like, just, for example, never mind, I'm not going to say, but yeah, some people just don't have, they don't have the empathy for people that have disabilities in some places as they do in others.
But, I mean, I told you about that story. I mean, it wasn't really. Oh no, we had some. What was it? Ah, damn it. There was somebody. I think he either had some. He had some sort of illness. I don't know if it was physical or mental. Anyway, he wasn't working. He'd been on the dole for money, you know, a certain amount a week, and he'd been to a charity shop to buy some clothes for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he come out and he dropped £10 on the floor. By accident. And the police officers saw him and fined him for littering. I mean, you imagine how much that £10 would have meant to him because, you know, he has that much money.
Right.
And they're fining him for dropping money on the floor. It's not as if he's done it on purpose, is it? So that means he would have been even more out of pocket. But that's just stupid.
That's just nuts. Well, anyhow, you know. Yuck. Yuck. That situation is the pit. Well, next week we're going to have our third installment of Tarot Lessons. Hopefully we'll also have some people calling up to ask some questions and talk about it or whatnot. We're also going to be listening to the beginning of our interviews with healer Colin Doyle. As usual, we'll be doing readings. But I want everyone to understand just how rare and very special, you know, these interview tapes are. Listening to someone tell, you know, a few, you know, a little bit of memoirs, so to speak, of life as someone who has lived with seeing other beings, seeing, you know, paranormal things, all kinds of things, and just, you know, just it's going to be, it's a very, very, very special time. And also we'll be doing readings like we usually do, simple sample readings. And also, if you want to get in touch with us, remember, you can get in touch with Bill if you didn't want to go through all the process of Facebook and stuff, because some people don't do Facebook. You can get in touch with Bill at Bill Doyle, that's D as in David, O-Y-L-E, at live.com. Or you can like us on Facebook, Psychic Nunu and Broken Earth Radio. Those are two different pages. As well as going to our website. And the website is in the chat room posted, and it's also on the marquee thing that has pictures that scrolls by on our episode page. Is there anything that you wanted to add, sir?
No, just don't be afraid to get in touch with us, get in touch with me, you know, anything you want to talk about, you know, ain't got a problem. With that, now what are we going to be doing to close out the show tonight? A bit of bad learning, a bit of desiderata. What are we doing?
Your face.
Yeah, is that 12 minutes long? I don't know. I have to ask a doctor about that, I guess.
I want to play a song, and then we're going to play the desiderata.
Right, okay. Cool. Desiderata. But just so you know, it's my favorite poem. Read by myself. So it's got some important words in there. So pay attention if you can hear it amongst all the echoes and special effects.
All right. And we'll see you guys very soon.
Goodbye.
Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even to the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace in your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy.